Shalom lachem.
Hello, and thank you for being with us here in the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. We're looking for happiness. You're welcome to join us. We want to understand how it's possible to make our life happy, a new life, better life, that we'll wake up in the morning happy, to be alive, that we'll feel that we're loved, that we feel that we have love in our lives, that we have light and love. We really, really want to, but we just don't know how to do it. That's what we want to learn here in the most practical manner. Be with us. There will be a lot to learn. And in each of our discussions about happiness, we put our focus on one of the subjects of our life, and we want to understand how to be happy through it, how to reach happiness. And today we're talking about happiness and the family, how the family ties in the widest manner, impacts whether we're happier or less happy. Why is it a factor that influences us so much, and how we can really use this tool to be happier? Tal, open up the discussion. We really want to understand how to be happy. It's not always clear to us. We want to know the best way to invest to be as happy as possible. When we looked for research, when we checked what they say in research about this subject, the subject of family and social ties takes a lot of place. So we want to understand why the family is such an important factor to our happiness. Sometimes it's very complex and it doesn't go easily, but we want to understand why it causes us happiness because there's so much research about it. For example, an expert from Harvard, Gilbert, says people are happy because they have a family, and actually everything else we do to be happy are just all kinds of hidden ways to have more family and more friends. So the family, at the end of the day, it's a foundation for our happiness. We see that men who are married live 7 years longer than single men. People have twice as chance of being happy if they're married. Hanging out with the family contributes to our happiness, and the stronger the ties are, the more happier we are. There's something interesting. Lots of times we look at capital as there's a thing called social capital in our world. They went and checked that our connection with the family equals money. Our relationships are worth more than $100,000. And raising our level of social interaction increases our value. And the opposite, a person who gets $85,000 more a year isn't necessarily happier. But if he tries to make stronger ties with his family, that makes him happier. So there's so much research, and it's so clear about the importance of family for our happiness. So the question is, what is this thing of family? Why is it so important to us as a foundation for our happiness and who we are as people? Look, I'd say that family is the foundation of life, not in the usual sense, but at the beginning, when the cells of life developed, each cell, and the more that they got more sophisticated and multiplied, and then there were different types, and then those types became colonies. They became a society, a connection for systems, and afterward those systems began. In other words, we came out of one, and we don't want to connect to one as a man and woman. And then we give birth to one. We're always splitting up into two, connecting to one, giving birth, and then splitting up again. And that's how it goes on. That's how it happens in all those cells, those elementary cells that connect and multiply. And therefore, first of all, family is the basic makeup, natural, from the side of nature, that nature developed in us, a desire for that, an attraction to that, that a sexual attraction isn't enough for me. They say married people live longer. It's not just here, it's a restaurant and a machine, it's all good and everything's arranged for him, but rather there's some special spirit here that's surrounding him, and then precisely with the help of this spirit, he continues his life with more happiness and for the rest of the years of his life. Because this is how we're built. We're suited more to nature if we're in a family. And also our kids, when they grow up in a normal family, it turns out that they grow up in a better way, more convenient, warm. It influences a person's character, the way he relates to everything. It's the foundation of all foundations, that no matter how I look at it, I won't be able to run away from what I saw and what I got from home and the relations between mother and father and whether I like it or not. Usually, in most cases, we copy our relations from them for good and for bad, for better, for worse, what we absorbed in our childhood, and that's how we continue. And therefore, we need to put a special emphasis in our time, the connection between parents and children, that if the mother used to be at home and the father used to work a full day, and now the mother works a full day as well, and the kids are thrown into nursery schools, and the kid comes home and there's no one home until they come in the evening, and they quickly organize something to eat and throw him into bed because he's disturbing them and they need to do things at home. The whole term of family is disappearing. There's also a special direction, I would say, that we're destroying the family. And there's a plan, I would say. It appears to me that there's a general plan in governments and the elite to truly destroy the family, to reduce the birth and this whole demographic explosion from the 20th century. They want to reduce the number of people in the world. So we'll reach an amount of people that's more acceptable because we have tons of unemployment of billions of people coming up and there's nothing to do with them. And we've reached such technological development that people are living twice as long as they used to. And at the same time, if we multiplied ourselves throughout the 20th century, maybe even tripled ourselves, then apart from that, we're also living into, it's as if we're times six, we're like the strain on the planet compared to 100 years ago. And we see that in this way, the way we live without any correct connection, without the correct society, the correct family, mutual support and participation and consideration of the ecology, etc., we see that it's impossible. So there's some special plan in general in human society to reduce these things to a situation where we won't see in the family and in birth and looking after the kids, that we won't see in that precisely a person's main role. But if they really want to, good. But if not, we see that today the family, 50% for sure, it's not their goal on the horizon. And this is how we're developing as egoists, that we don't really see it. We don't really see it as a good investment, worthwhile investment, because we're always making calculations, economic calculations. And therefore, we no longer know what happiness is in the family. And we need to teach people. And here there's a problem of the media and movies and series and everything. We see that we're being prepared for the incorrect situations, the unhappy situations. And then we're precisely in a descent from building families, having kids, to see it as a place of rest. We're in a retreat from that place of calmness, the way it used to be. And this is how the whole world is. Of course, according to research, people who live in family bliss, they're the happiest people, but to reach that, you need to educate people, and we don't have an education for happiness, and that's a problem. And even if we somehow receive from our childhood, people like me, people who are very old, that I see in my kids and my grandchildren, and in general, I see a completely different way to relate. The disconnection is already happening. So we really want to develop this education to happiness in the family, but maybe we can try to talk and understand what is the family that causes happiness. Why does the family cause happiness, maybe in the ideal manner? First of all, our problem is the trustworthiness of the research. If we took a person who's not theoretically influenced, who's not influenced by all kinds of media and Hollywood and everything, and if we checked if he has an inclination and to what extent he has happiness in the family, to feel that he's in a warm environment that's looking after him, a mutual environment that's always concerned about him and he's concerned about them. If we're talking about such a society where everyone is as one, men and women are as one body, and the kids come out of them. But our problem is that we can't check, because we're already taking to research people that have gone through all kinds of, they've been ruined by the media, by public opinion, and then to start asking them, even in very special tests that we're trying to make up for them, it's still difficult for us to know if we truly have an inclination for happiness in the family. Do they even know what it is or not? Because it's not their opinions, the inclinations are not theirs. A person is always thinking how it looks in the eyes of the society. So in society today, in a normal modern society, it's good to be a single, to make tons of money in some special job, and having a family just limits me in life, and maybe not have the normal sexual orientation, and people are starting to be very proud of that. And so all these things we need to check. Are we really capable of reaching the correct family? I'm not so sure. Because we live 80 years. And 100 years ago we lived 40 years average, and people held on. What would a person do? He'd reach the age of 18, 20, he'd get married, he'd give birth to kids, he'd also bring them to the age of 18, 20, that they'd get married, and a few years after that, they'd have grandchildren and die. There was a cycle. There was a very normal cycle that everything's around the family, inside the family. And now if he does the same thing, he has another 60 years to live and people can't hang on. Therefore, they say that here there's a crisis in the family, divorce, distance, and also our lives, that everyone's working and with his people at work, with his career, with all the problems and everything. There are many couples that are married or live outside of that. It's either agreed that they have other families or they don't live in one place. And we see that for happiness, if we're talking about it, we need to educate people. Okay, so maybe let's start by understanding still, why is it good to have a family? What is in the family that can cause us happiness? There's very interesting research that say we think that we can be happy if there's someone that will love me and support me and I'll have an environment that will help me. There's research that shows that the greatest benefit from relationships comes from my helping others, and whoever helps the friends, the neighbors, they have long life. There's something precisely in the, if there's an environment that you can give to. I can also give not just in the family. In the family, I'm obligated from the morning to the evening, and from the evening to the morning, I have to be connected to it and always think about them. And I don't get the good feedback from them, and I don't get a thanks from them. And so it's difficult to deal with, especially with our accelerated ego. It's a problem. And if once upon a time there weren't systems, organized social systems, hospitals, Medicare, banks, healthcare, all those systems that look after a person, and not microwaves and washing machines. Today, a person doesn't need a wife. He has so many machines. Once the woman used to sit at home and fill this role. Today, there's no need. And our whole world is organized in a situation like this, that you have to be free, that you have to sit and work till 10 o'clock at night. You have to do some activity with your colleagues. It's arranged in such a way to tie a person, instead of a family framework, to the work. And we see that people aren't happy from it. They want to have time for the family, but society obligates us, and they look at a person as strange and they don't support it, then he begins to change himself. There's still not everyone's like this. Not everyone thinks like that, but already 50% at least, sometimes more, sometimes less. It depends on what society, Western or which country, some countries, developing countries. The trend is clear throughout the world. Let's try to analyze it a little bit more in depth, not from the side of the trend of the family unit becoming destroyed, which is clear in the whole world, but from the side of why family ties give a person happiness. If we look and what's in this relationship between a few individuals and a family, then we can see a few elements. There's support. There's an element of solidness, mutual help. There's a place where you can give from yourself to someone else. Those four elements take place in the system called the family. Not families of today, but let's say an ideal family. There's foundations like that. You can also mention others. The question is, Since we're looking for happiness, what from those things did what I say are the most dominant in creating a feeling of happiness? Why, when there's a system like this, it's not just the small unit of parents with three kids. Also, from a wider perspective, when people are older and maybe they have grandchildren and brothers and sisters, truly in the wide meaning of family, what in your eyes is the element that causes us to be happy? Mutual support, stability, mutual help, the ability to give to someone. Which of those things? Maybe it's something else happening in this relationship called the family. When it happens good, it makes us happy. Now I want to get into depth about the reasons. What about these things causes me happy? Mutuality. Okay, what does that mean? Mutuality. That I feel that I have someone to love, and I feel loved. And that is precisely without making any calculation. They love me the way I am, and I love also the way a person is, with all his weaknesses, with everything that he is. Just like you love a child. You love him because he's yours. But here, we understand that there's a very big psychological problem. A person is a system, and the system has to be synchronized in advance with values, approach, a certain amount of intelligence. He needs to get education. He needs to have additional perceptions. He needs to get tools to achieve what he wants to achieve in the correct way. And we see that people don't understand. We don't get education how to relate to people in general, and not even how to build a family properly, of course. I saw not so long ago a movie, a sex lesson in Europe, sex education. They force kids, and they're ashamed and everything. They're 11 maybe or less. They're embarrassed. They sit them down, boys and girls together. They show them really disgusting things. But still, there's lessons how to live together. That couple that's doing things in the bed and God knows what, they're talking about feelings, they're talking about a different connection after this, next to this, nothing. So how can we say that they'll be happy in a family connection? They know that happiness is something they get for one moment in this ecstasy, sexual ecstasy, and that's it. They don't tie it to the family. This is separate and that's separate. And we understand that the correct connection that we have to build through the correct psychologist, the correct approach, by a person getting connection not just through from the other gender, but he feels that it's a person that's thinking about him, that wants to cause him good, that there's some kind of special pleasure of this dedication one to the other, that the sex is just a foundation for developing above the animal level. The sex is the animal level, that there'll be some participation at the speaking level. What does that mean? How we love one another, how we're devoted to one another, how we think in this act and this deed, how we think about doing good to the other. I'm thinking about myself. There's some kind of flow, some circulation of relations, and not a one-sided relation, a way of relating to a person, like in an animal level. And therefore, this we need to develop. how we develop in this person an ability to be connected to his partner in this manner, that we really begin to feel the connection. An inner connection. That I love my partner in life because I feel the mutuality between us, that between us there's some special warmth, not in him and not in her, between us. And that's what we're always developing. And we're not dealing with it. We don't see it, the parents don't see it between them, and they can't convey it to the kids. And the kids don't receive it in the educational institutions, just the opposite. You see what's in the movies, and also the atmosphere in school is like that. Where does a person start to get this way he relates to sex and the other gender? He gets it from school. And there, it's already along such lines that, and there's social pressure, very great. I want to understand, you said that a family, when I asked you what the foundation is that causes happiness in this relationship called family, you said one word, mutuality. And then you started to talk about that there started being some warmth between us. And the beginning of your explanation emphasized the point that a family is maybe the only place where I'm loved as I am, because I belong to the family. It starts from the age of zero. Mommy loves me because I'm her baby. And also later when I'm big, a happy family, if I can imagine a happy family, it's a family that allows each individual to be as they are. And then this feeling between us allows each one to exist as they are. And there's like a dialogue of loving him as he is. I also love you as you are, and you also love me as I am. I want to understand why this fact that I love others as they are and they love me as I am causes happiness. Integration. What does that mean? Integration, that each one absorbs from the other, is integrated in the other. That everything that's in the other, I receive it as a part of me. A part of me? Yes. A part of me. The fact that there's different bodies, physiological bodies, that there's a distance between them, it doesn't matter to me. To such an extent that what hurts her hurts me, and the opposite. For good and for bad. So why does it bring you happiness? The connection between both of them, if it's at the level of man, the loyalty, the dedication, it brings happiness. Why? Because that's a law of nature. It's not because we're developing these fake new things that don't exist, but rather because from nature, two opposite things or two opposite phenomena that are opposite. Each one is egoistic and each one in its own direction. If they overcome their natural rejection and start to integrate in one another in the correct manner, that each one accepts the other as his part, then they begin to be suited to nature, because nature is round, it is one, it is entirely arranged in completion in all its parts. And then also I, since I'm suited to nature, I feel this perfection, this eternity in nature. Really something higher. I get uplifted from this. Because we're in some kind of system that's operating on us from outside, and our bodies are operating from the inside. We can add this element called this connection, mutuality, dedication. And then we reach a breakout of feeling. And then also all the feelings are intensified. That what I get a cup of tea from her, the tea looks much more tasty than what it really is. And everything that I feel that I received from her, the way she relates to me and everything, all these things convey to me feelings of love. There's this inner completion in all these things when we're mating, everything. And then we feel even more that special part that's called special in nature. It's a connection, and it's powerful. Precisely this power is what glues us together. And this is what protects the family, the family's unity. That if we don't reach such a connection, I don't call it a family. Can you define this connection? The connection has to be such that each is in the other, that each feels that the other is inside of him, that each is like a fetus in the other, to such an extent that they're devoted and belonging. And this mutuality, when it comes in a mutual manner, not that one yes and the other isn't, that's really a bad, tragic situation. But when there are mutual relations, they discover between them special warmth according to their single nature, and this special connection, this special glue that is gluing them truly, it's always protecting him and always maintaining the connection between them. And this common place where each is integrated in the other is called family. That's the difference between just a couple, two people who live together, compared to the term family. How's that connected to family? In that, they feel the love, the warmth, that you can't get in any other place, this feeling. And that's what we need to teach people if we want to truly want the term family, if we want it to continue. Now, I wanted to ask, until now, when you described this whole system, you spoke about two people, between a couple, and the children must be integrated in it. The children must be part of it, but they'll feel it. They'll look at their mother and father and they'll feel it. And they'll also want to afterwards to bring it into their relations even before they build a family. They'll search for that precisely. And those people that they'll be able to find some kind of beginning of connection between them, those are precisely the people that they will build their family with. I'd like to expand a bit. Why, when you spoke about two, when we talk about family, when you talk about family as a loving, happy place, it's not just two people, it's not just me and my partner, there's other elements that could be my kids, like you said. It can be sometimes my parents. It can be brothers and sisters. This element of mutuality, there's like a principle here called mutuality. This element of mutuality that allows feeling that glue, that warmth, that happiness, only in this special place called family. Is it correct for all the parts of the family, even with strangers? Imagine, even with strangers, not those that are in some kind of connection, through some blood connection, even strangers, the main thing is the connection between people, that each compromises, gives up his ego, that each sees a need of his fellow man before his own needs of himself. What does it cause that same person to when he relates to a person like that? He wants to feel this pleasure from connection. So I cancel my ego, and I'm prepared to get the my fellow man's desires, and I work for him, and then he relates to me in this way. And then we see from this we get a different kind of filling, not from the level of the ego, but rather at the speaking level, that we develop this filling by ourselves, and it's holding us.
לכן לחיבור כזה יכול להצטרף כל אחד.
עוד שאלה, קודם הדגשת שמשפחה זה המקום היחיד שבו מקבלים אותי ואוהבים אותי כמו שאני.
כן.
מה זאת אומרת לאהוב אדם כמו שהוא?
עם כל החולשות, נו, עם כל הבעיות, עם כל הצרות, מה שיש בו, בכל מיני רמות, פסיכולוגיה, פיזיולוגיה, כלכלה, יחסים למיניהם, סוציאליים, לא חשוב מה. אנחנו קודם כל מתייחסים עליו בוויתור גדול מצדנו, אבל דורשים ממנו לאט לאט, לפי היכולת שלו, גם כן לעשות אותם ויתורים בצורה הדדית כלפינו.
לא בדיוק הבנתי. הבנתי שיש לו הולשות.
כן, למיני.
בכל אחד בעצם יש הולשות מסוגים שונים.
כן.
אוקיי, אנחנו בני משפחתך.
אנחנו לוקחים אותם בחשבון.
מה זה אומר?
שאנחנו מבטאים על החולשות שלו. שאנחנו מסכימים עם החולשות שלו. אבל תלוי. זאת אומרת, האם הוא, עד כמה הוא יכול להתגבר בהתאם לגיל שלו, להתפתחות שלו, מכל מיני התנאים. אבל לא דורשים מאדם להיות מושלם. אלה דורשים ממנו עד כמה שהוא מסוגל, עם כל מה שיש לו, לעשות לנו סימנים הדדיים כמו שאנחנו עושים לו.
של מה? איזה סימנים?
של החיבור.
כלומר?
של הנטייה הדדית. של הנאמנות. התכללות.
זה משהו שהוא בא לידי ביטוי במעשים? או שזה יותר ברגש?
גם במעשים, כן, ודאי. וברגש ובמעשה. ואנחנו רוצים להראות את הדברים האלה אחד לשני כתשומת לב, כאיזה חיבוק, נישוק, דיבור, איזה משהו. זאת אומרת, אנחנו צריכים לחזק את זה כל הזמן. והעיקר לכוון את עצמנו שמתוך ההרגשה הזאת המשותפת אנחנו חיים.
כי אלה דברים שבסך הכל אני חושבת שאנשים יודעים שככה צריך להיות במשפחה.
אני לא מגלה כאן שום דבר.
אבל אמרת שזה מחבר אותנו ממשהו לטבע. אז מה בדיוק מחבר אותנו לטבע?
אם אנחנו בונים את הדברים האלה על פי הוויתור המתגבר.
על פני.
על פני הוידור המתגבר, כן? על פני כל מיני דחיות, כל מיני אירועים שיכולים לקרוא פה ושם, כל הזמן אנחנו הולכים ובונים קשר יותר ויותר חזק, למרות שהמקרים של הפירוט יכולים להיות חיכוך, שכסוך, הם יכולים אפילו להתגבר. זהו. עכשיו, אנחנו בונים, חוץ מזה שאנחנו רוצים להתקלל זה בזה, חוץ מהפירוט, אנחנו סוגרים אותו, כן? אנחנו רוצים להתקלל זה בזה, אני רוצה להבין ולהרגיש ולחיות בתוך השני. אני רוצה להרגיש איך שהוא נהנה ממני. ואני רוצה להרגיש גם כן איך אני נהנה ממנו. וביחס שלו, כאדם עליי.
וזה שאני רוצה להרגיש זה מספיק, כי אז אני רוצה,
כן, זה כבר, זה כבר, כבר, זה כבר עוזר לי להיכנס בו, להתקלה, להתחיל להרגיש אותו. ודאי. אני כבר בזה אוחז בנשמה שלו. וכך, נו, אני לא חושב שזה אפשר כאן לתת הדרכה ממש בזה, אלא רק כמה קווים וכמה אולי סימנים של שלבים. כי זה עניין של הלימוד עם סדנאות, עם הקליפים, עם כל מיני להראות. זה פסיכולוגיה בעצם. פסיכולוגיה שבתוכה האדם מתחיל לגלות, אם הוא מכוון את עצמו נכון, עם הזולת, השניים מתחילים לנגן ממש באותו ניגון, ובמינו נהנים.
אוקיי, אז מבחינת קווים כלליים, באמת נתת פה את הקווים הכלליים, למה הופך את הקשרי משפחה למקום שבאמת יכול לייצר לנו את האושר המקסימלי. עכשיו בוא נתקדם הלאה. אחרי שהבנו לאן אנחנו שואפים להגיע, כמו שאמרת, צריך להתחיל לתרגל את זה לאט לאט, למשל על ידי סדנאות, על ידי תרגולים, עד שלאט לאט מפתחים...
כמו שדיברנו עם ילדים נגיד בבתי ספר, צריכים לתת בזה להם ממש שיעורים ותרגילים והכל.
אוקיי, אז עכשיו בוא נגיד...
לקרוא ספרות מיוחדת וסרטים מיוחדים, זה צריכה להיות ממש תוכנית של כל האנושות כולה כלפי דור הצעיר. כן, אחרת מה? אנחנו הולכים...
בואו, אבל עכשיו אני לא רוצה דווקא לצמצם לדור הצעיר, אני רוצה לדבר על כלל האוכלוסייה. כלל האוכלוסייה, כל פרט באוכלוסייה, ניקח אותך, ניקח אותה, ניקח אותי, לא חשוב באיזה גיל אנחנו, נמצא בתוך מערכת יחסים כזאת שנקראת קשרי משפחה. מן הסתם היא היום לא מביאה אותי לאושר מקסימלי, אחרת לא הייתי יושב פה לדבר איתכם. אני עכשיו מתחיל להבין, כתוצאה מהשיעור שנתת לנו עכשיו, שיש פוטנציאל בתוך קשרי משפחה, בתוך קשרים בכלל, אבל במיוחד בתוך קשרי משפחה, לייצר איזושהי אינטראקציה חדשה, שהיא תביא אותנו להתחיל להרגיש את החום הזה, את הדבק הזה, את הכוח הזה, את המנגינה, כמו שאמרת עכשיו, את המנגינה שעל פיה מנגן כל הטבע.
כן.
אני רוצה את זה. אחרי שהבנתי את זה ברמה התיאורטית, הבנתי את השיעור שלימדת אותנו עד כשהוא היה מרתק, אני רוצה עכשיו להתחיל במשהו, נאמר שאפילו שלושתנו זה בני המשפחה. Mm-hmm. אתה בגיל יכול להיות כמו הורה שלנו אפילו. אז נאמר שאנחנו כמה בני משפחה, לאו דווקא נצר לעצמנו משפחה עם ילדים קטנים, על זה אפשר לדבר בפני עצמו, אלא בכלל, אתה יודע, משפחה שיש בה כמה פרטים. והם רוצים להתחיל להתקדם אל עבר המקום הזה, היפה שתיארת, השלם, ההרמוניה, ההדדי. אני נגיד עד עכשיו המילה, אם היית שואלתי מילה אחת שנכנסה לי לראש מכל השיעור של עכשיו, איך מגיעים לאושר במשפחה, יש לי מילה אחת, קוראים לה הדדיות. עכשיו, אני רוצה להתחיל לתרגל את זה. בוא תבנה לי איזושהי סדנה, לנו, בני משפחה, שרוצים במשהו להתחיל להתקדם לזה, קצת יותר לחוש את זה. איזה סדנה אתה יכול לייצר לנו, שאותן נתרגל, ונתקדם במשהו לכיוון ההרגשה הזו. שתמשיך את הקו הרעיוני שעד כה לימדת אותי. איזשהו תרגול לנו.
זה לא תרגולים בלבד, זה תלוי ברמת העדינות, הנפש והאינטליגנציה הפנימית של האדם. זה צריכים לרומם את האדם. אתה צריך לשפשף אותו קודם כל. אתה יודע, המקום שאתה רוצה להדביק, אליו משהו, אתה קודם צריך לנקות אותו טוב
כן,
טוב.
כן.
נכון? ולכן זה לא סתם כך להעביר איזה סדנאות, אלה צריכים קודם להעביר סדנאות כאלו שהם מרגשים את האדם, שאני יודע המיתרים שלו, שאני יכול לנגוע בהם, שהוא לא מפחד לפתוח לי את עצמו, שאני אנגן ממש על הרגשות הפנימיות שלו. ואז שאני נותן לו את זה דווקא, אני רוצה לשמוע איזה ניגון השותף שלי רוצה לנגן עליי. אתה מבין? אני פותח לו את המיתרים שלי. ואז ההפך גם כן. אז כאן צריכה להיות לא סדנה אחת, אבל קודם כל סדנאות הראשונות הם כדי להסביר לאדם איך אנחנו סגורים, איך אנחנו אטומים, מאיזה שכבות אנחנו בכלל נכללים, ואיך אנחנו יכולים להתפטר מהם, כמו שדיברנו, לנקות את השטח, כן? לפני הדביקות. איך אנחנו יכולים את זה לעשות? איך אני מגיע למצב שאני לא מפחד שהשני הוא ישתמש בזה לרעתי? על ידי דעת הקהל, שאנחנו עושים את זה בסדנאות, אז אנחנו הולכים לרכך את האדם, כל אחד ואחד מהמשתתפים. אז בכך, בצורה כזאת, אני מפיק ממנו את הפחד, את הבידוד הזה, הריחוק הזה מהזולת. זולת יכול להיות בן משפחה וילד והורים שלו, גם כן מרגיש אותם כזולת. אחר כך, זה דבר אחד. דבר שני, אנחנו מראים לו שחיבור בטבע ובכלל, הוא גורם לעלת דרגה. כן? שני תאים שמתחברים זה כבר גוף. עוד יותר מתקברים, זה כבר בונים איברי הגוף. איברי הגוף. וכך יותר ויותר. הגוף יותר מורכב, יותר משוכלל, יותר מבין, יותר מרגיש, יותר נעלה. איך אנחנו יכולים להתקלל זה מזה? זאת אומרת, איך קודם כל אני הופך את עצמי רגיש לצורך השני, לחוסר, למה שחסר לשני. גם להבין, גם להרגיש, גם לשמוע ולהתקלל ולעשות ממש תעשה רצונך כרצונו. כמו אמא, כולה היא משרתת לתינוק. אין לה רצון, אלא כל הרצון שלה כדי לשרת אותו. בכל וכל, מה שרק רוצה. היא רק לזה קיימת. אז אנחנו צריכים כך לאט לאט לראות התקללות זה מזה. אני מחליף את הרצון שלי לרצון האגואיסטי, לרצון שמשרת לבן זוג שלי. וההפך, בן זוג עושה גם כן אותו דבר כלפיי. בוא אנחנו נחליף. אולי בצורה כזאת שאנחנו נתחיל כאלו תרגילים, פתאום אנחנו נראה שדווקא כל אחד יכול לספק לשני כאלו דברים שאף אחד לא יכול לספק לעצמו. למה? כי מי השני שנותן לך משהו שאתה יכול בעצמך לתת, יחד עם תשומת לב, מביא לי כוס תה, כוס מים, יחד עם אהבה, עם תשומת לב, עם היחס שלו, אני מקבל פי כמה וכמה מה שיש במים. אני על ידי זה רואה שאני יכול להסתפק במועט. אני לא צריך, אני כאילו, מספיק לי להרגיש את האהבה, ומספיק לי איזה, באמת כוס מים וזהו. וכלום חוץ מזה. וכך אנחנו, מתוך זה שאנחנו לא מקבלים את החום, האהבה, התחברות, התכללות, התרשמות הזאת היפה, אנחנו רצים אחרי כל מיני דברים בעולם. וירח, אנחנו צריכים לרוץ מעבר לאקיאן, עושה כל מיני דברים. מה אני אמצא? אני רוצה למצוא אותה התרשמות שנמצאת לידי, החמה, היפה, ואני לא מוצא. ואז אני חושב שהיא שם, אחרי האם הגבוהות היא נמצאת. או בכסף, או בכבוד, או בשליטה, או במה. והיא נמצאת רק ביחס היפה לידינו. כי אנחנו רואים את זה מהטבע. אין לאדם יותר חשוב, אלא אהבה שאימא נותנת לה. דווקא בזכות זה הוא גודל. בזכות זה הוא נולד. לא. לכן אין דבר יותר חשוב, לא בכל החיים. זה שאחר כך הוא הולך להחליף לאיזשהו דברים מלאכותיים, זה פשוט פספוס גדול. הפסד גדול.
אז יש מחקרים יפים, עשו מחקר על קופים, שראו שהקוף העדיף בובה בדמות אם שהיא הייתה פרוותית ונעימה, אפילו יותר מבובה שהיא לא הייתה פרוותית ועל הבקבוק חלב. הוא העדיף תחושת החום והנעימות מהאימא מאשר האוכל. כן. עד כדי כך זה צורך בסיסי.
כן, זה צורך בסיסי.
אוקיי, אז הייתה לי שאלה גם לגבי משפחה. דיברנו על זה שמשפחה לא בוחרים. זאת אומרת, האם יש איזושהי משמעות דווקא לאנשים שהם במשפחה שלי, שדווקא איתם אני יכול לעשות את העבודה
הזאת? הבסיס של אהבה הטבעית הוא חייב להיות. כי בזה אנחנו מתחילים. הכל בא מהדומם. כן? הכל בא מתוך האדמה. קרקע צריכה להיות שבכל זאת מחברת בינינו. חשובה מאוד שפה משותפת, עד כמה שאנחנו דומים זה לזה, הפסיכולוגיה, המנטליות, זה כמה שכל הדברים האלה, כאילו תיאורטית זה לא יכול להיות, זה יכול להיות הכל דבר, אבל אנחנו צריכים בכל זאת להיות מדברים באותה שפה, קשורים, מבינים זה את זה, כמה שיותר יש לנו דברים משותפים, כבר מצד הטבע הרגיל, כן? אז יותר טוב. לכן מלכתחילה האדם בעצם בנוי שהוא לוקח בת זוג, בן זוג, מאותה תרבות מאיפה שהוא בא בעצמו. זה יותר מוצלח, בטוח.
אם זו משפחה שהיא כבר משפחה נתונה, ויש לי אחים ואחיות שהם שונים ממני בכל מיני צורות, זאת אומרת, האם יש לזה דווקא יתרון, דווקא במשפחה שלי, ונגיד אני לא מסכימה עם אח שלי, הוא שונה ממני מאוד, אולי דווקא בסדנה מהסוג הזה, אנחנו יכולים לגלות שאנחנו משלימים אחד את השני.
בבקשה, ודאי. ודווקא כל אחד יכול להישאר בדעות שלו, בהרגלים שלו, ודאי שבטעמים שלו וכן הלאה, זה כל אחד. מה שבא מהטבע נשאר. וגם כן האופי הוא פזרן ומתפרץ וכך, ואת מתונה וכך. זה לא חשוב.
That doesn't matter. It's all with love. We suddenly see how much these things complete one another. All transgressions will be covered with love, that's for sure. That's the law. I wanted to ask about the exercise you spoke about before, about the cup of water and love. If I understood, the point of the exercise says, you can go get yourself a cup of water. But if I bring you a cup of water, I'll bring you much deeper and more exciting things that you won't understand yourself. We can do research from your cup of water. It's exaggerated, but apparently from your cup of water, I'll get fat apart from a good feeling, for sure. If I acquire for myself. I go to a restaurant and take, say, the exact same lunch that I get at home. For sure, from that I'll be healthy, and from that, and that won't be healthy. And it's the exact same food. It's the way someone relates to you. It changes everything. So I want to understand the exercise, and also in connection to what Tal said, you see how kids grow in an orphanage compared to how they grow up with mother, and they might get the exact same thing there. But the bed is without the mother, and the food is not from mommy, and they get everything except being related to properly. I really like the exercise with a cup of water. I want to understand how we can do an exercise like this in a family format. Let's say we're a few people in the family, brothers, sisters. Let's say there's 5 or 6 family members, and they want to exercise this thing with a cup of water to learn this additional thing. Can you suit this exercise to the family? You said it could be an exercise, for example, through which they begin to feel precisely between us in this my giving to you. You can acquire things that you wouldn't be able to acquire. If you can give me an exercise, a family exercise, that would allow them to taste this experience that you're talking about. No, let's say they're making food together. They open the bed together. They look after something together. The main thing is together. And things that both of them enjoy. And let's say there's more than two, there's 5 or 6 family members. Let's say it's something, a family thing. A family thing, do it together. You invite the whole family over at 2 in the afternoon. And first of all of us are preparing the table and cooking. And afterward, we're all learning to sing karaoke, some special song. The exercises together. What's the point of them? Being together. What do you mean being together? Together. We're all peeling the vegetables together. What does it mean to feel together? That we're doing together means that what I do, everyone will enjoy. It appears to me that the question is how I'm preparing pleasure for others, and this is what everyone's doing for others, and this envelops us and connects us. And then we sing some nice song together about connection, about unity, that truly I need to give. Maybe each will give a verse himself to the song. There's many, many options to play with here. But for this, people need to be a bit unoccupied from work, and that's coming. They have every weekend. There's 2 days that people don't know what to do with all weekend. I'm telling you that soon the whole week they won't be able to, they'll have free. Do we need to speak about this? What's happening here? How can we maximize this togetherness? How do we bring it to the maximum? Do we need to speak about it? We're coming to an evening of love, a day of fun. Don't call it like that. It depends on the people, the family, who you're inviting, and etc. But is it worth it for them to speak about it? Should they talk about it? I don't know. You can suddenly, your friend comes over, some psychologist, and you ask him what he's doing, etc. And he says, I make people happy. Okay, great, make people happy. Then he says, you agree, and then you start. Like, do a trick like that, a sudden trick. What's the key? Invite me over. Just make a good meal. What's the key that this togetherness will really come out pleasant and good? It's teaching people where they can find the source of happiness. We don't need words or explanations or proof. They see it immediately. And the more we have simple tricks to cook together, to sing together, to play together, but games that are mutual, not one against the other. Not one against the other. Each one completes the other. There has to be certain conditions for this togetherness. Our time is over. A last sentence. Happiness in the family. Why precisely in the family can we reach happiness? Without happiness, there's no family. That's what I think. There's no family if it doesn't have happiness at its foundation. Otherwise, it's just a couple. There's something to think about. Your time is up. Thank you, Rav Lyman. Thank you, Tal Mandelbaum. Thank you for being with us. Without happiness, there's no family. New life, all the best.